Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter. It is Tuesday, which means our dear friend Delana Dixon joins us. Hey, Misty, are you there?
I am. How are you today?
Hello, Misty. We made a little bit of news, our little podcast yesterday. We were in page six because we had a drinky poo with Wendy Williams. So yesterday we talked about it on the show. It's sort of flattering, I think, Misty, that reporters at different outlets listen to this podcast. I sort of liked it. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, very interesting. It was a very interesting night. We did have a little drinky poo, and she was the belle of the ball. And so that was really exciting to hear. And she's pretty nice. She and I might have lunch one day. Who knows?
It was nice to see people be really nice to Wendy. I think she needed it. I think after everything she's been through, it's a lot, isn't it? She lost her show, all the drama. We've all read about that. We don't need to relive it. But I think it was sort of fun to see her enjoying herself and smiling and laughing. I loved it, and she really did appreciate it. Fans come over to her and really gush. They so love her. I think after a decade of being in people's homes every single day, people feel as if they know her, Misty, and in a certain way, they do. And so the energy that she gives out to everybody else, it was nice to see her receive it. And I think for a moment, Misty, she actually understood how loved she really is.
Absolutely. I mean, the fans were just going, they were gagging, as they say. and they were just so excited. There was one young man who just kept asking, are you still friends with Nene? So their Wendy, and they want her back.
They want her. They want their Wendy back. Hey, let's jump into the show. What time is it, my friends?
It's tea time.
So big story at the top of the show. Coming out of London, Kate Middleton was reportedly given a fertility test before the royal wedding. So a book out by Tom Quinn. He's a royal expert. He has a new book out called Gilded Youth, a history of growing up in the royal family. He's been dropping some bombshells, particularly about the prince and the princess of Wales. According to Quinn, there were a few rules that Kate and William had to follow before their big royal wedding at Westminster Abbey in 2011. We watched it due to the fact that Kate was going to be a bride from outside of royalty or aristocracy and essentially regarded as a commoner. So Princess Diana was Lady Diana Spencer before she married Charles. She was part of the aristocracy. So Kate's mum and dad were very wealthy. They're millionaires, but they didn't have a title. They're not dukes or duchesses or ladies or anything like that, lords. And so Kate technically is a commoner like pretty much everybody else, but that wasn't the only thing that they really focused on. They wanted to make sure that Kate could bear children. She was marrying the future king, and they were protecting the line of the monarchy. So the book claims, quote, "There were tests carried out to ensure the future queen was able to have children. Get this, though. If Kate had not been fertile, Mr. E, there is little doubt that the marriage would have been off." Wow.
Ooh, I mean, that's really deep. I don't know. Reading about this kind of creeped me out a little bit. It's like, oh, you better be able to deliver the next king or queen. And I can understand it theoretically, but physically just going through that kind of makes me give shivers down my spine. But again, like I said, they want to make sure that the family lineage continues. And there, isn't there something about Princess Diana and how she got tested?
Yeah. He wrote about that too. But Diana had a ton of tests, and she thought they were checkups, basically, and only later on did she realise they were fertility tests. So he claims Diana was so innocent, she just went along with everything and wasn't even aware what was happening. Kate, he argues, knew exactly what was going on, but she is not a rebel, and she knew what was happening, and she was fine with it. I think why it all feels so weird is this whole system is from a different time. It's barbaric, isn't it? Kneeling, curtsying, bowing down to another human being just because of the family that they are born into. It's so un-American. It's so anti-democracy. Like, I love the royal family, but when I read stuff like this, I do understand why people are saying, enough, this is such a weird system. Get elected or do something incredible in life, cure a disease, and then I might curtsy. But why should I bow or curtsy to somebody just because of who they married or whose family they were born into? It just feels so unfair, and it definitely is an archaic system. Obviously, it's not modern by design. But recently, maybe because of Harry and Meghan, I've started to care less and less about it. Do you know what I think really happened here, Miss D? When the Queen passed, suddenly I realised we don't actually have to do this. Like, Britain would still survive without a monarchy. That's a radical thing to say. But I think there has to be some adjustments to the system, because as it goes along, Misty, it's feeling more and more and more out of place, out of date.
Absolutely. And I think it feels for us as an American, it feels more kind of like celebrity than monarchy for us. It's fun to see what they're wearing, who they do marry, when the children are born, but we're not exactly sure what they do for England.
Right.
I mean, we know. And so if there's a way to kind of maybe get rid of some of the archaic stuff, and if it really is, this is a PR job where we're representing the United Kingdom.
Right.
Then I'm down with it, because I want to see the dresses. I want to see the jewels.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of the things, it's like, you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think they've got to adapt it. Charles is going to try and do it, but let's be honest, at his age, he's not going to be a king for very long. Hopefully, it's as long as possible, but it's going to be up to William and really Kate to decide if this family actually survives. I know that sounds very, very dramatic, but Other countries have lost their royal families. Goodness knows, we saw the Tsars in Russia disappear, and the royals in France disappeared. So lots of European countries who used to have royals don't anymore. Which brings us to our poll question of the day. Kate Middleton reportedly was given a fertility test before the royal wedding. What do you think about this? Terrible? Disgraceful? Or a good idea to make sure that she could have a prince, a princess, and keep the line of the monarchy going? Hey, go vote on our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Romb. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. Hey, Misty, what are you working on?
Well, we had a birthday celebration this weekend. It was none other than Bruce Willis celebrated his 68th birthday on Sunday. And you'll be happy to know he was surrounded by family, extended family, because, as we know, and this is the sad part, he was diagnosed with dementia last year. So now actress Demi Moore, she was married to Bruce from 1987 to 2000. Huh. She was very close. She actually posted the blended family celebration.
Wow.
Now, Bruce just retired from acting last year after he received the dementia diagnosis, which can make it difficult to speak, to write, to understand what time you're in and decade, and also to communicate. And coworkers have said that he's been struggling on the set of his film for several years, which is why he retired. Now, his current wife, Emma Heming, posted on social media that she started the morning of his birthday by crying.
I'm sorry.
And the reason she said is, I always get this message, or people always tell me that you're so strong. And she wants people to know, and they say, I don't know how you do it. And she says, I wasn't given a choice.
A choice.
I wish I was. That's deep.
Wow, that
you
is
deep. You have to be strong.
There's been some rumours about some conflict between Emma and Demi Moore. It's difficult, isn't it? But my sources tell me there might be moments when they irritate one another a little bit. But Emma Willis, Bruce's wife, is very much in charge, and Demi knows her place. I'm told that Demi's being very, very thoughtful here. She wants to be supportive. She wants to be around. She cares for Bruce. But she knows she's not the wife. She's the ex-wife. And so the wife, Emma, is in charge. Bruce, we are sending you a happy, happy birthday. We really are, my friend. Hey, this story is kind of remarkable. It made my head explode. I heard about it a couple of days ago, and I was getting ready to break the story myself. And then page six, Carlos over there, hello, 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 Carlos. He broke it before me, so congratulations on the scoop. But what he's reporting is Rob Marciano, who's the weatherman at GMA, has been banned from the studio. You heard that right. The weatherman has not been in the studio for almost a year. So he's banned from the Times Square studio after making a colleague feel very uncomfortable last year. It's unclear at the moment exactly what transpired between Rob and his colleague, but a source told Page Six that he was dealing with some anger management issues that he was going through while going through his divorce from his wife. So the EP of the show doesn't want him in the studio. So for a year, Misty, he's been reporting from the street, from outside, from other places, but he hasn't been in the studio. Rob wants to come back. My sources tell me it probably isn't going to happen. It's a curious story, because if you've done something upsetting enough to remove you from the studio, isn't that also, by definition, upsetting enough to be fired? What do you think? It's confusing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he should be grateful that he wasn't fired from his position, because we know it's difficult to find another job, especially when you've been so high profile. And what's interesting, what you said here, is he was dealing with issues of anger during his divorce, which just goes to show you, you cannot bring your personal situations into the office. He actually needs to read your book, where you say that you reset at every hour to be happy, or at least to be at peace with wherever you are at the moment. And so maybe he screamed at somebody. Maybe it wasn't something that was usually, it's something that's sexual, but it sounds like this was somebody displacing their anger and it made someone else feel uncomfortable. So could he come back? It's a possibility, but he should be glad and grateful that he's still getting the paycheck.
That's right. He's still getting paid, and he's still reporting on other ABC shows, World News Tonight, and some of their digital streams. So in New York, he's shot from a different studio. So he's on the show. He is on GMA. He's just not in the physical studio. They put him in a different studio and shoot him from there. It's very, very curious. We've worked in TV for a while, Misty, and this is very unusual. Normally, if you do something bad, you get fired. We just saw Amy Robach, and we saw TJ get fired.
Absolutely.
This guy, I don't know. Hey, moving along, what is Paris Hilton revealing? She's revealing who her idol is, and it might surprise you.
Yeah, they may not be like that much in Britain or America, but Paris Hilton, she's holding down the fort, because she is Team Harry and Meghan. She has Red Spare. She watched the documentary on Netflix, and she said she's a real big fan of Harry's, saying he has been through so much, and I can't just imagine losing my mom, Princess Diana. Has always been one of my idols.
Wow.
And it breaks her heart that Prince Harry had to go through that. And of course, she and Prince Harry have something in common, and that's dealing with the media. And she said, I know how it is with them. It can be so hard when they are just invading your life constantly. and he has had his life invaded the entire time. While being vulnerable wasn't easy, Paris has said by doing so, being vulnerable, it's been freeing and helped others, which is something that Harry spoke about in his book,
That's
Spare.
Right.
That really just started me on this path of self-discovery and just seeing how much that made an impact, especially as a troubled teen and dealing with that part of the industry.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I worked with Paris about 15, 20 years ago when she was doing House of Wax, the movie. And I got to admit, even back then, she absolutely idolized Princess Diana. We spent some time in London together. We flew to London together. And I remember Paris was so excited. We got in her car and we went to see all the sights in Buckingham Palace. She squealed when she looked out the window, even though Princess Diana never actually lived there. Shh, don't tell Paris. Kensington Palace, wrong palace. Don't tell her. Hey, quickly before we get a break, good news. Juliana Huff is rejoining Dancing with the Stars, this time as a co-host. So Tyra Banks has just announced she's leaving the show. Now we have found out Juliana Huff is coming to co-host the show on Disney Plus alongside Alfonso Ribeiro. I like him so much. Now, she was on the show with her brother. I think she joined the show in 2007 on the fourth season. Then she became a judge in 2014. Now she's back as a co-host. I like her, Misty. Bubbly, bubbly, bubbly. I think her brother is still going to be on the judging panel, so maybe we'll get some fun family drama there. But what do you think? Is Juliana a good replacement for Tyra? Tyra always felt out of place on that show.
Yeah, even when you watched it, it felt like this wasn't necessarily her venue, even though she looked fantastic. I mean, obviously, Juliana, she's a dancer, so it fits that she's going to be there. She has a connection for it, and she has a passion for it. And whenever I think of her and her brother, I just think of taking my mom to see them in a show and her saying, boy, those white kids can dance. I think a lot of viewers who maybe stepped out because they didn't really understand the Tyra Banks connection may come back because it feels like you're going back home. It's just family. It's just family now.
Right. It's got to be organic, hasn't it? Like having dancers there is a smart move, I think. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm Rob Shooter with our dear friend Misty. Hey, Misty, let's get to the polls. Da, 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 da. Last show, we talked about Harry and Meghan's demands, which could cause chaos for Prince Charles at the coronation. Are they doing this on purpose? Do they want to cause chaos? I know it's a cheeky question, but sometimes you want a bit of revenge. And these two, goodness knows, they've been through a lot. So I would imagine at the moment they're sort of enjoying everybody jumping through hoops here. So what do you think? So are they doing this on purpose? 70% said yes, they are. I think I'm with you on this one. Don't forget to vote on today's poll. Go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob or our Facebook page Naughty Gossip, and be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. And now it's time for our nicest
of the day.
Well,
our nicest of the day are the best of bros, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, who will do almost anything to spend time together, including making a new movie. Okay, so Matt Damon said, we hit our 50s, and I mean, you can see the end of the tunnel. Oh, Matt, you're only 50. Shush. But the two have reunited because they've made a new film called Air, which tells the story of NBA player Michael Jordan. And Ben said, it was the best work experience of my life without question. He also directed the film because he was with his bestie, Matt. Now, the dynamic duo grew up together in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they spent years struggling as actors in Hollywood, but then they skyrocketed to fame with the 1997 film Good Will Hunting, for which they scored an Oscar, the best original screenplay category. So, I mean, hey, you know what? When you make a good friend like that, of course, why not work on a movie together, make
like
the money
it.
And have fun?
Yeah, I like it. I like that they hold on to each other. Hollywood can be a cruel place and spit people out, and dramas and press and all the stuff that's said about one another. And here's a life with J-Lo and how different that is from Matt's life with his wife and his children. I love that through all the noise, they've been able to maintain, to continue their friendship. Our nicest of the day, our naughtiest of the day, naughty, naughty, naughty. Hey, listen, this is breaking. breaking news and our hearts absolutely break. Amanda Bynes has been placed on a psychiatric hold. She was found roaming the streets naked and alone. TMZ are reporting that she was spotted in downtown Los Angeles on Sunday morning without any clothes on. We're told that she was trying to wave down cars, telling drivers that she was coming down from a psychiatric episode. Then Amanda herself called 911. Thankfully, she was rushed to a medical facility where she was put on a 5150 hold. That's really serious. Brittany was on one of those for a really long time. Fortunately, TMZ are reporting that Amanda was not hurt during the ordeal, and now her family are with her. Just heartbreaking. Breaking news. Hey, let's end with something a little bit more optimistic. A moment of Rob. You get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob.
Give me mine.
So for 20 minutes, we love giving you all the celebrity gossip, all the news of the day, all the news you don't even know yet. We're good reporters here. But for a minute or a moment, we like to be a little bit more serious. Today's moment of Rob. The pain of failure is better than the pain of regret. Let me do that again. The pain of failure is better than the pain of regret, which means you have to keep trying. Just keep trying. And remember, whatever you are going through right now will eventually become the thing you have made it through. You're going to make it through wherever you are right now. You will make it through. Don't forget that. That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Naughty But Nice with Rob and Misty Show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, Misty. Leave us a review if you can. They really do help. And remember, all together now, let me hear you singing along. If you're going to be naughty,
you've got to be nice.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.
That's an easy one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.